This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. And today, my very special guest is our County Assessor, Recorder, Clerk, Ernie Dronenberg.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me here today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, Ernie. And immediately after this interview, we will have Mr. Dronenberg's opponent, Susan Gwynn, arriving and do an interview with her. So stay tuned if you want to hear both candidates in this race. Now, I understand that there's going to be some good news for the fire survivors this week from your office. Tell us what you're doing to help them.
Well, last week we announced that because of the fire, we're going to reassess all the burnt property. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's fully destroyed, we'll take completely all the improvements off the roll and just have a tax on the land. But if it's partially destroyed, we're going to reduce the value. This we announced last week. This is a great thing because when they rebuild the property, it won't have the new cost. It'll have the cost that they had before. Mm-hmm. We go back and have the old cost. So it's a very fair thing. It's the least we can do.
Right. The supervisors, I understand, also are taking some actions to waive some fees. Is that right?
Yeah. I put a recommendation in front of the Board of Supervisors, who will vote on it, to eliminate fees for copies of birth certificates, death certificates, and marriage license. These are fees that the people that lost all their valuables in the fire, they have to replace them. These things are invaluable.
Right.
And so here again, it's the least we can do for these people as government to say, look, come on in, get your documents, and we'll bear the cost of it.
And what about the fees for building permits and so forth? Are there any adjustments on those to help them further?
There are adjustments depending on the jurisdictions. You know, for example, if you're in Carlsbad, you have fees from the Carlsbad.
Right. So this would only apply to those homes that are in the unincorporated area of the county for the building fee purposes.
Correct. And, for example, I live in the unincorporated area right across the way from the highway fire, and there were no buildings burnt in that, unfortunately. But if they had a burnt, then the county would have jurisdiction.
Got it, yeah. Now, you are also running for re-election. And, Ernie, before you became clerk, I understand that you were the chairman of the Board of Equalization, chairman of the statewide franchise tax board. So you're kind of known as the, I've seen it on your own flyers here, you describe yourself as an overqualified tax geek.
Actually, that was a moniker given to me in the LAX election by one newspaper. I take to it because that is my background. I've got 30 plus years in tax administration. I'm considered an international, national, and local tax expert. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I am. I'm a tax geek.
Very good. So can you start by telling us what the assessor, recorder, clerk does and why it's important? In other words, why should voters care about who holds this office?
Well, the assessor is responsible for determining the property tax value for all the properties in the county. There's over a million assessable properties in the county. Mm-hmm. And I have a staff of about 250 and a budget to cover reassessing all those properties. Now, most of them are covered by Prop 13 base year value. Two-thirds of them are covered by that. So that's subject to an indexing formula. But any new properties, any change of ownership properties, any improvements, we are responsible for putting the value on. The second hat is that of the recorder. The recorder is responsible for recording all the legal documents such as grant deeds, trust deeds, quitclaim deeds, any kind of real documents dealing with real estate. The recorder's office is responsible for recording those, maintaining the records, and producing copies when required. The third hat is that of the clerk. The clerk does that of issuing copies of birth certificates, death certificates, and marriage licenses. Now, in addition to that, the clerk is also responsible for marrying people, and if they choose to have the clerk marry them. But we issue the licenses for people to get married, for everybody that wants to get married in San Diego County.
Very good. The person running against Ernie is Susan Gwynn. She calls herself an advocate for San Diego County taxpayers and a consumer advocate attorney. Now, Ernie, she has indicated on her website, which we took a look at, that San Diego County has the second highest rate for overpayment for unresolved property tax appeals. Would you like to respond to that?
Well, we're the second largest county. Mm-hmm. If you're the second largest county, given that you're the second largest, you'll probably have the second largest number of appeals. But that's really not a good measurement for how well we're doing, though. Mm-hmm. If you measure the appeals by the percentage, and I've done that, actually the county that has the most appeals by the dividing the number of appeals into the number of parcels, San Francisco is the worst. They have the highest percentage. Mm-hmm. San Diego is actually number five.
I see.
Even if we have the second largest number of parcels, we're on number five in our appeals. And actually, when I took over, my predecessor had over 20,000 appeals. This year, we're going to have 6,000.
Okay.
We've cut those way down, and we're way ahead.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that point for us. I always like to start by asking an incumbent, what do you consider some of your most important accomplishments in office? Why should people reelect you?
Well, I'm about customer service, and that's what my office is all about, is customer service. I've brought in outside training people to teach my people training customer service, because I'm changing the whole culture to be one of customer service. We measure customer service, and we reward on customer service. And our last survey done by customers, we had a 98% positive rating by our customers as to the service that they're receiving in our offices. So that is very, very important to me. But what I'm all about, too, is trying to get the costs out of government and reduce them by bringing in computers. Bringing in a new $52 million system. That's my budget has gone up because we're putting money into this new computer system. But at the same time, I've also made it easier for people to do work online. I want to take people out of line in my office and put them online on their computer. I put every form that when I walked in, I said, I want every form we have online mm-hmm. and fill inable. So now every form we have is available to people to go online and fill it in. And now we've got the first one where you can sign it online.
Oh,
this
that's
is the
interesting.
First,
much more convenient.
First in San Diego County of any government agency to have a signable form, and we led the way.
Very good. Now, your opponent has indicated that your office did raise fees on some small businesses and families by, she says, $2.3 million. Can you explain to us what that was all about?
Well, that's not an accurate number. We disagree on a lot of numbers. I'm
sure.
If Susan come in, she'll make all kinds of claims that I've got the documentation to refute. But mm-hmm. We did raise fees my first year in office. We came in, and the law is that we're supposed to recapture our costs. So I brought in, we did time and motion studies, and we brought all the fees up so that we're recapturing the cost like the law says. Mm-hmm. And what's important for people to understand is, if I charge a person the right fee, then we don't use tax revenue to supplement it. See, it's a user fee. If you're paying the right amount, then we don't have to take the general fund taxes to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's why the legislature put that in the law, that you recapture your costs, because they want the taxes to be used for welfare programs where you don't recapture. And when somebody comes in and gets a fictitious business name, they pay the cost of that fictitious business name. That's an additional thing we do. But fees are important, and we brought them up to not any more or any less than what our costs were.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Some of them hadn't been increased for 15 years.
There you go. Now, you have been embroiled in a little bit of controversy over the gay marriage issue when the Supreme Court decision came down basically saying that Prop 8 was unconstitutional and that gay marriage should be reinstituted in California. You filed a challenge to that, and it led to some of the same-sex marriage advocacy groups to post a site called Dump Dronenberg over that.
Right.
I'd like to give you a chance to respond to that and also to ask, how are things working out now that gay marriages actually are being performed by your office?
Okay, good question. As the San Diego Union put it, it was a tempest in a teapot, because what happened is the U.S. Supreme Court said there was no standing for the Prop 8 supporters. So it then rolled back to the District Court of Appeals. They vacated their decision, so it rolled then back to a district court judge's opinion that Prop 8 was unconstitutional. That opinion was then given to all the county clerks across the state. And I looked at it and said, you know, this is, I don't have the ability to challenge this. It's when you balance things, you look at them, I'm going to do what they're telling me to do. So we started mirroring people the first day. We continued. We added staff because this was right in the middle of a very busy period. We added staff.
a lot of backlog of these.
And it was in July, which is our biggest time of the year for people getting married, June and July and August. So we started what's called walk-in Wednesday. Yeah. That means anybody could come in and didn't have to have an appointment. But I rallied my staff and said, we're going to have this workload. We got to get it done. So we got it done. We met all the – we had a commitment that if you came into the office by 5, you would be walk out married, and we made that commitment. My challenge was not on whether or not gay marriage was legal. My challenge was on the procedural.
I see.
It was on three issues that related on the procedures in which the case – and I asked for clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the
can you give us one example of one of the procedures?
Yeah, one of the procedures was that the Constitution says that an official like myself or a legislator, nobody can declare a provision unconstitutional without an appellate court decision. This judge that made this decision was a district court decision.
I see.
And so I said, please explain to me how the law applies in this situation, because this was a district court judge, not an appellate court decision.
There you go. I always like to ask candidates for office who their major endorsers are. Which, can you list maybe 4 or 5 of what you consider your most significant endorsements, Ernie?
Well, I'm endorsed by the realtors. Those are the people I work with the most. The San Diego County realtors, San Diego, the North County, and the East County, and the South. All four groups have endorsed my candidacy. They work with me on a constant basis. In addition to that, the San Diego Union did a very good endorsement of me. And, you know, some of the active labor groups like the San Diego Deputy Sheriff's Association endorsed me, and the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association endorsed me.
Right. Okay.
I have about 13 different endorsements, so we'll stop there.
Okay, well, that sounds good, and I appreciate you sharing that. And let's end by circling back to the fire issues. For those of you that tuned in late, we're talking with Ernie Dronenberg, who is our county recorder, assessor, clerk. In addition to discussing his candidacy for re-election, we also were talking about the fire issues and some steps that his office has taken to waive certain fees and things and reduce some property assessments on the burned properties. So if someone listening out there is a fire survivor or knows somebody who is and they want to know how to get help or how to get information, Ernie, how do they reach your office?
Well, they can go to the website, www.sdarcc.com.
Okay.
All right. Or we're going to go out. We're proactive. My office is very proactive. We're going to try to find those people. Because a house is destroyed, they change their land use. We're working with land use agency to find out where those are, and we're going to try to identify and find them. Problem comes when they don't have a mailbox and trying to get a hold of them. So if we'd encourage them to look us up and call and contact us, but we're trying to find them at the same time.
Very good. And if they want more information about your campaign, what is your campaign website?
The website is www.ernie4assessor.com.
Very good. Ernie, I want to thank you very much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine show. And also, we're glad to hear that your house is okay. I understand the fires came off the coast.
The fire was about a half a mile away. We could see the flames. We were concerned, but we were just very fortunate the wind was blowing the other way. And I want to thank you for having the show. You know, low visibility, down ballot offices like this one don't get a lot of people's attention. So any opportunity I get to speak, in fact, that's one of the things I enjoy about the office. I spoke over 50 times about the office last year. So anybody out there that has a Kiwanis Club or Rotary Club and they want a cheap speaker, one free, that guarantees to have people enjoy the topic, contact my office. We'd love to come speak to you about the Board of Equal, not about politics, about the assessor's office and the clerk and the recorder's office. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important for the people to understand what these offices, so they can take advantage of them. You don't know what you can get if you don't know what can be given for you.
Well, we're certainly very committed at KNSJ to reflecting all voices and views, and certainly to highlight, as you've noted, some of these races that are important, but where people may not read about it. Some of the other media, they're all focused on who's running for Congress or City Council, and they overlook a lot of the down-ticket races that actually are very important and have a very direct impact on people's lives. So, Ernie, again, thank you very much for joining us here today on East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. We are going to be right back after a brief station ID to interview Susan Gwynn, who is running against Mr. Dronenberg for the countywide race for the assessor, clerk, recorder position.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is Miriam Raftery, host of the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. And now my special guest is Susan Gwynn, who is a consumer advocacy attorney, and she is taking on incumbent Ernie Dronenberg for the countywide assessor, clerk, recorder position. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, yes. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what some of your qualifications are for the job, so to speak.
Thank you. I've been an attorney for over 20 years in consumer advocacy. My firm was one of the 10 firms that started the tobacco litigation and received a $3.3 billion settlement on behalf of county government.
Wow.
Thank you. I've had numerous cases after catastrophic loss and hundreds and if not thousands of cases involving business valuations and residential valuations as well, and have had cases here in the county where I protected hundreds of, and in some instances, thousands of businesses and families from being charged fraudulent taxes and fees as well.
Very good.
Thank you.
Now, I always like to ask a challenger, why this race? Why are you taking on an incumbent? What are the main issues where you might do things differently or perhaps better?
Wow, that's many questions in one.
Okay.
The reason I think a lot of people don't realize how important the assessor, recorder, county clerk position is. It oversees $400 billion worth of valuations throughout the county, which results in essentially the economic engine that drives the county. So who's at the helm is vitally important. The incumbent's been in this position for 3.5 years. Prior to that, back in 1998, he retired from the Board of Equalization, which, by the way, his role there was 99% of that was sales and use tax and not related to the current role he's in. When we look at the actual hard data for the performance over the last 3.5 years, he has done a terrible job for our families and our businesses. We are being overtaxed, and it is imperative we remove him from office. If he was in the private sector, he would be fired.
Now, in all fairness to him, when he was here earlier today, I asked him about a statement on your website where you indicated that San Diego County is the second worst in the entire state in terms of unresolved property assessment issues or challenges. And his answer was that, well, if you look at the population, based on population of counties, we're actually fifth, that wasn't completely accurate, according to him. What would your response be to that?
I find it amusing that he wants to argue as to whether or not he's 58 out of 58 counties as far as the worst performing, or 53 out of 58 for the being in the bottom fifth of the counties. Mm-hmm. Essentially, according to the Board of Equalization, San Diego County ranks second worst in the state for uncompleted assessment appeals. We know that he left 14,506 property appeals uncompleted last year. San Diego County ranks second worst in the state for its backlog of assessment appeals. He only completed 12,180 assessment appeals. To give you an idea or context for this, the prior assessor, Dave Butler, in his last fiscal year in 2010, completed over 44,000 assessment appeals.
Hmm.
Mr. Dronenberg has only completed roughly a quarter of that number.
And appeals, of course, are very, very important when you've had property taxes falling, for example, because of the economy. And now, certainly, we're going to have people seeking reassessments because of the fires as well. You know, I'd like to ask you, by the way, about the fires. When he was here, he mentioned some things that his office will be doing to go out and see if some of these properties need to be reassessed downward, and there's the supervisors are looking at waiving some fees. What do you believe needs to be done to help the fire survivors in this disaster, or for that matter, future disasters that may occur when you're if you were at the helm?
I find it inefficient that the incumbent doesn't already have a policy in place. For example, why do we wait for every fire to happen before we decide how we're going to help people? I mean, the bottom line is that when people's homes are burned down, we know that the state requires that the improvements upon the land, that you don't get taxed for those things, right? You would just end up with your land basis. So that should be an automatic. That's not something that Mr. Dronenberg is giving any of these people. It's state required. As far as not charging for the de minimis fees for birth certificates and all those other types of, that's a no-brainer. Let's have a policy for that. Why are we having to go and ask anybody to do those types of things? Let's be proactive. The bureaucracy has to change. One of the other things that should happen, frankly, is that we should be reaching out to these folks. Some of them may have been late on their property taxes or haven't paid a particular installment on their property taxes. Right now is not the time to be chasing them for money. And so regardless of where they are in that process, that should immediately stop as well.
Okay. Now, your website has indicated that the incumbent raised fees on families and small businesses by almost $10 million. I asked him about that. Could he explain that? And his answer was that they raised fees to cover costs. Fees hadn't been raised in 15 years. Do you want to respond to that?
The incumbent actually has raised his budget by almost $10 million. He's increased his staff by double digits. And even last year, he increased fees to small businesses by over $2 million. Those are all from budget documents from his office. The problem that I have with all of that is that essentially you end up with a bloated budget. He's charging, his budget has gone up, his staff has gone up, and yet his workload and his workload performance has gone dramatically down.
You're trying to say that he is, that he's raised it more than was needed to simply cover costs, the fees, that he's raised them more than would be needed to simply cover the costs of running the office.
Exactly. He's inefficient.
Okay. Now, he will tell you, he's not here now. In all fairness, he had to leave. But he told us about his customer service ratings, that he has a 95% customer service rating. What do you say to that? Why would people, you know, give him a 95% customer service rating if they weren't happy?
If you look back at the data on the assessor, recorder, county clerk, they have always had a customer service rating of about 93-94% per year. Mr. Dronenberg has had a 90-91% rating since he's been in office, though in December he got one rating of, I think, 97%, which he's touting as average now. The problem is junk in, junk out. How they're collecting customer reviews and service ratings is a box on the counter.
Interesting.
You fill out a little index card, you stick it in the box, and guess who evaluates that and decides if it's positive, negative, illegible, should it be thrown out or kept, and how it's documented? Well, it's Mr. Dronenberg and his management, and they get bonuses. They get actual incentives for having more positive surveys than not. So this is not verifiable. It's junk in, junk out.
Fascinating. Okay. Now, he also, he drew a lot of controversy during the whole gay marriage issue, because when the U.S. Supreme Court finally said that Prop 8 was unconstitutional and that California needed to resume conducting gay marriages, he filed a challenge to that, and as a result, some of the gay rights groups in towns put up a site called Dump Dronenberg. When I asked him about that, his answer was that he was really challenging it on procedural grounds. What are your views on this whole controversy, Susan?
I don't see it as much of a controversy. I think that the facts speak for themselves. Mr. Dronenberg went to county council. They refused to help him and told him to follow the law. He approached the county board of supervisors. They refused and told him to follow the law. He went outside of county council. He wasted taxpayer money. He filed a frivolous lawsuit to hire the attorney who put Prop 8 on the ballot and represented the other side through the Supreme Court and back. That is not seeking clarity. That is promoting your personal agenda, period.
Interesting. Okay, thank you for responding to that. Now, you have, on a more positive note, you have some interesting ideas as a, I guess coming from your background as a consumer advocate and consumer attorney, for having the clerk, assessor, recorder's office do some community outreach and actually get out into the communities. I presume that would include some of these unincorporated areas in East County where we have a lot of listeners, other parts of the county. Tell us a little bit more about what you have in mind if you're elected.
Thank you. I believe that we need to, with a staff of 410 people and a budget of $65 million, we need to get out from behind the desk. We should be out in our churches, in our community centers, in our schools on, if it's not monthly, then on a quarterly basis, depending upon the area and the interest. And with our laptops, where we help small businesses figure out only what their fair share is. You know, there's so many people that don't have access to the system. In addition, while we're out there, they can bring in their questions regarding foreclosure, bankruptcy questions, how does that impact them and their valuation, other types of things that, frankly, they don't know what their resources are. We should be out there answering those questions, helping them determine those things on the spot, and then inviting the nonprofits in the area and the other folks in the area so that when you come in, it's a fair of some type, where you go from table to table to table, and you're able to access resources, some of which you don't even know exists and are there to help you.
Well, there you go. I would like to also ask you who you consider your most important endorsements. And for those of you tuning in late, we did interview Mr. Dronenberg, the incumbent, earlier, and he listed primarily realty groups that deal with his office and some law enforcement. Who do you consider your most significant endorsements, Susan?
You know, I have not been chasing endorsements nor seeking lobbyist groups to endorse me. Of course, some of the big real estate groups have, their leadership at least has jumped on board because I believe they're receiving outsized tax breaks that are not fair for
special
interests. They're not fair for the other 99.9%. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that as far as my own endorsements, the Speaker of the Assembly, Tony Atkins, has endorsed me. Interim Mayor Todd Gloria, who's also the City Council President, and many other leaders, several congressmen, City Council people, mm-hmm. leaders in their communities, and leaders in churches have endorsed me.
Very good. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about your candidacy, Susan, that I have not specifically asked you about, or for that matter, about the incumbent and his record that I have not specifically asked you about at this point?
I would like the listeners to know that I am not a career politician, that when I turned 40, which was 8 years ago, I've spent over half of my time working for free and working for pro bono for San Diego County. And that includes starting a nonprofit with my son related to the environment called Kids Eco Club. It currently throughout the county provides services to already this year 30,000 youth. That includes health fairs, nutrition, cooking, environmental issues, science, even some physics labs. All of those are free of charge. In addition, I have worked within the county to help regarding slave trafficking and a whole bunch of different related issues.
Human trafficking, yeah.
Yeah, human trafficking.
That's shocking how much of that goes on right here in our own county.
Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And to help small businesses. So I've been here already working and helping people in the county. I am excited to be able to work for them on this issue. I think this office is absolutely fundamentally critical to restore fairness and appropriate property values so that the 99.9% are represented.
Very good. Well, I really want to thank you for joining us today, and I'll end by asking you where people can get more information about your candidacy, Susan.
You can go to SusanGuinn.com, and that's G-U-I-N-N, and you can see a little bit about me, see a couple photographs and see what my priorities are. And of course, you can always contact me through that website as well. We're also on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Susan Gwynn SD.
Thank you very much, Susan, for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Thank you. I'm grateful for the opportunity.